even strong women who fall in love with men break apart on bathroom floors at 2:15 a.m. in the morning, hugging their knees and cursing their reflection. Welcome to Kenyan Poets Podcast. My name is Njeri Wangari, and that is the poem Brave by Ijeoma Umebenyuo, and it's from her book. And she's one of my favorite poets, and we are at the finale. We are at the season finale of my podcast, and I am excited to be in this space. You can see the space that we are using today is very different from the usual set, and we'll be talking about that. And I have two amazing women with me today. I have Muthoni Muirure to my immediate left, and I have Wendy Njoroge. And we'll be talking about books, and more books. Now, just looking behind me is the book Unbowed by Wangari Maathai. And there are very many books that I'm seeing here. I can see The Shadow King by Maza Mengistu. I can see Lumumba by Ludo De Witte. And there are, as you can see, there's a theme there. There's something going on there that a lot of them, if not all of them, are African writers. Now, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Great. And it's an amazing space that you have here.
Thank you.
And I want to find out, when did this space exist? When did it become into fruition, and what was the idea behind coming up with this bookshop, and what is it called? Because we haven't talked about what it's called.
Yes. Okay, so the space is called Somanami Books, and we're located at the Greenhouse Mall on Gong Road on the ground floor. Now, I think, and I speak for, I guess, Wendy and I when I say this space existed in our heads long before it actually existed in this physical space that we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something that we had been envisioning, talking about, imagining, at times even afraid to talk about it. But we knew we wanted to create this. We just didn't know how to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know when it would actually come to fruition. But at the back of our minds, we just knew we needed a space where we'd be able to, you know, have African literature available, highlight African writers, and have a space where we can build communities around literature.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this space opened last year, and Wendy, you can tell me as you respond to this question, when exactly? Now, last year was a really tough year for all of us. It was businesses were shutting down, and I'm curious, what led to you opening the space in the middle of a pandemic when most closed, most businesses are shutting down and people are going online?
Actually, we opened this year.
Okay.
We opened this year. We started off as an online shop in February, but opened the physical shop, the physical space in August.
This year has been so long, it feels like you guys opened last year.
Yeah, it's been 2 years in one.
And it feels like 2020 all over again.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, like you're saying, it feels counterproductive to have physical space when everybody is shying away from, or rather when businesses have suffered and some have had to close. But what we realized is that because of the quarantine period and the period that we had in 2020, there was a crave for human connection, for that human touch.
That's true.
And books especially come alive when you meet with people, when you have discussions around them. So when we did the online shop, yes, that was good and fine, but we started to see people wanting to come together to talk, and because that's one of our big pillars, building a community around books, having a physical space where we could host, where we could nurture those communities was very essential.
Yeah, and it's it's good that you've mentioned that, because I think one of the other things that happened last year and we felt really we've really felt it is that need to share experiences and know that you're not going through this alone. And I guess books do that because you're able to read someone's story and they tell you the experiences and you feel I'm not alone in this. Because if you look at some of the lots of emotions were going on last year, there's a lot of despair, grief, desperation to some level, and it's just a lot of gloom. And so in my own experience, just being able to find a book that you read also sort of takes you away. There's an element of, you know, you want to be transposed to another world where you're not just focusing on the everyday thing and you're just in the house and you feel like your mind needs to escape. Why African literature? And this, I'm looking at you, so yeah, why African literature? Yes.
But as you were saying that, I was just thinking about a quote that I really love, which is, you lose yourself in books, you find yourself there too, which speaks to exactly what you were saying.
Yeah.
That for most people, books is an escape, but then because of the similarities in experiences, and at times you read something that is so mind-boggling, you're like, this is my story. So in some ways, you also find yourself in the books that you read, as much as you're trying to lose yourself. Now, why African literature? African literature first, because we're African. We're African first and foremost. And growing up, I think we have been accustomed to reading a lot of Western-centric books. And speaking from my own experiences, that is what I had been reading for a long time, you know? And we just didn't give space to African literature writers from Africa.
Yeah.
We didn't really appreciate the breadth and the range and, you know, the importance of telling our own stories, of learning our own stories, of feeding ourselves our own stories. So for me, it was a very intentional and conscious decision to sort of go back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go back to where it started. Go back to experiences, like we said earlier, you know, finding yourself in the books that you read, and finding myself in the books that I was reading when I started reading African literature was very enlightening. It was very cathartic in some ways, and it became like my life's mission, right?
You're right.
And I really wanted to share that joy that I found reading African literature and finding books written by Africans.
Yeah.
So when we thought about the store, then it was almost a no-brainer when we were thinking about it, because the idea was to make these books accessible to a lot more people, which was an issue for us, especially as we were running our book club, the issue of access, which is what we were...
And that's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one. I'm just from the library, and this store has an upstairs and a downstairs. So my kids are downstairs. We're just from the library.
Okay.
And just to demonstrate how real this is, we're from the library. I wanted to borrow some books written by African authors, as my kids also borrow their books. And I went through the whole library. And the only book that I could get, which is not what I was looking for, because I went with a list of, these are the books that I'd like to read if you have these authors. So we started with, these are the books I want to read, and they're like, we don't have them. Okay, do you have at least these authors? They're like, no, we don't. Okay, which African authors do you have? And what they showed me, I was like, no, it can't just be. And I mean, I deeply respect and I have a lot of admiration for the work that Ngugi wa Thiong'o has done. But we can't just have bookstores that only stock Ngugi's books. Like, if you look at this store, there are so many African authors that have come up, and I think that is the thing that a lot of people now, they look back to the set books that they did in school, and they're like, no, those are not the books that I want to read. And they don't realize that these are, you know, there are very many other books out there. And just coming to you, Wendy, and you know, just sharing in the experience that I have gone through sort of resonates a lot with what you went through, that finding books, not by African authors, any other books, like there's a lot of Cindy Sheehan. No, when much younger, James Hadley Chase.
Yeah. Yes.
Which other one?
I was talking to Wendy's daughter about Sweet Valley.
In Sweet Valley High. And Nancy Drew. I remember those Nancy Drew, those Hardy Boys. And those are the books that we grew up with. And now when you've grown much older and now you can read novels, there's a lot of Sidney Sheldon, Stephen King, John Grisham. True. Yeah, was that your a similar experience for you?
It was actually, and the fact that books that end up in Nairobi or in Kenya, whether it's in the public space like in the library or in bookstores, are usually not they are not books that are written with you in mind. Yeah. So and there are various reasons why that's the case. So for us to center ourselves, it has to be a radical act of, you know,
of defiance.
Exactly. Of defying what the market is feeding
yes.
you.
Yeah.
Of
yes.
what is readily available. Like if you walk the streets, the books that you'll see are not Kamau Wangugi and whoever, I don't know, is there a writer called Kamau Wangugi? But yes, yeah. you know. Yeah.
Or even Meja Mwangi, you'll hardly find
exactly.
those. Eh?
Yes.
You'll hardly find those. And I get, you know, why that need, because for the two of you, mm-hmm. And this is the feeling that I'm getting, you're fast readers. Like, for this to come about, was it because you thought, okay, maybe this is a good business for us to start, which I can tell you, I've been in the publishing industry.
Yeah.
If you're looking to make money in this space, you won't become a multimillionaire overnight. It's
yeah.
because it has to come from a very deep love of books.
Yeah.
And so coming to that, how have books shaped your understanding of life? Because a lot of people are like, you know, a lot of people nowadays, there are lots of distractions.
Mm-hmm.
So social media is one of them.
Yeah.
And so someone will tell you, yes, I love reading books. But then you're like, okay, so when is the last time you read a book? Let's say it's been about a month or 2 months. So the intention is there.
Yeah.
But then there's so many distractions. And so coming to, I'm curious about how are you able to, despite all the distractions,
yeah.
I know you have a family, you both have families,
yeah.
we have families. How are you able to carve that time to just, to read?
I think, as with anything, it has to be very intentional.
Right.
It's not something that you do when you've done everything else, you know? And that is why most people end up not reading.
Yes, because you put the book by the bedside.
Exactly, and you relegate it to the last thing. Like, when I finish everything I'm supposed to do in
I'll
this
take a
world,
book.
I'll pick up a book and read, right?
Mm.
And then you will never do that. You'll never finish what you're supposed to be doing, you know? Like, you'll never run out of things to do so that you can pick up the book. So it has to be very intentional. You have to set aside time to read, whether it's just before bed, whether if it's the first thing in the morning. Personally, I always carry a book. There's somebody who was just downstairs and I opened my bag and they saw a book. I'm like, oh, you carry a book in your handbag? And I'm like, yeah, you never know where I'll get 2 minutes. And I'll be like, okay,
yes.
I can get through 5 pages in 2 minutes,
yes,
right?
That's true.
So it has to be intentional. And I guess when you realize what you're getting from the book,
yeah.
So it's not just passive reading. You're reading to be informed. You're reading to see whether it will change your mindset, whether it's going to give you new ideas, new knowledge.
Yeah.
There's a lot that you can get from a book. And so when it's intentional, then you make time for it. As with anything,
yeah.
I believe
yeah.
you have to, if you love reading, you definitely have to make time for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I can add something else, yeah? You know, also something else that makes a difference is being in a community. And that's what Somalami, we are big on.
Great.
Like nurturing those communities around books.
Mm-hmm.
One way we do it is our book club.
Yes, I was going to ask about that. So please tell us about the community.
Yes.
That you, because you mentioned the book club, and I know that you guys were running a book club well before this store existed, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So actually our genesis story is from a book club. We met at a book club, and because of a couple of problems of access and not getting the books that we wanted to read, that formed the basis of the inspiration of Somanami Books, the bookstore. So the community, coming back to the community, it really helps you be accountable to yourself and to other people to read. And not just even accountability, but being able to enjoy.
Yeah.
Because like I mentioned earlier, we are very social beings, humans. So you want your to share your experiences. It makes them much, much better. Be they reading experiences or whatever that experience might be. So when you read a book and somebody else has read the same book and you meet together and talk about it, it makes the reading experience even much better.
Yeah.
So
okay. And talking about the book club and the monthly meets, I missed the one last month and I had read that book like by the third week I was done. So last month you had
The Madams
by Zukiswa Wana. Shout out to Zukiswa.
Yes.
And it's not a book I would ordinarily pick.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's, I think that speaks to the beauty of being in a book club. If you're not in a book club and you're a book enthusiast, if you read a lot, please, I would advise that you join a book club. So,
Jane Sobanami, the book club.
I realized that, you know, as I was saying, I would ordinarily not pick that book. But then because it was the book of the month, I bought it. I read it. It was really interesting. I had some questions, you know, from you know, and I knew you were going to host the author. And I think that's one of the amazing things that I noticed about your club, because you're able to invite the author, so that now they come and hear what your experience reading the book was, and they're also able to talk about. Where, you know, what is this, where were they in their mind at the moment, what inspired the story?
Yeah.
Now, how big is the reading community in Kenya or in Nairobi?
Wow. And, you know, it's something that we keep saying with Wendy, is that there's a statement that Kenyans don't read. That has been regurgitated so many times.
Is that true?
And it's so untrue because there's no basis to it, you know? And I guess people who say Kenyans don't read are the people who don't read, right?
So the ones who don't come
and in. The companies, like, you know, Kenyans don't read, so what are you talking
about? We're many of us.
We're in a community of non-readers. But it's like, personally, over the last couple of years, it's just been amazing to watch and just to see the reading community band together, even just with Somanami, how the community has supported the space by coming and utilizing the space for their book events. We're having,
and this is where you do the book is, reading. I mean, the
book
monthly book club meetings,
yes,
right?
Okay. Yes. So seeing other book clubs come to also utilize the space because it's open to other book clubs, seeing authors interested in coming to do book signings and book launches, and just the way that community, and a big part of it is also social media, you know, you said.
So, I mean, we were just talking with Wendy about the community that you've been able to grow over the years. How big is the reading community in Kenya?
I think it's big, and there's the notion that Kenyans don't read.
Is that true?
Which is what I was telling you. Like,
yes.
And I think it's something that has been regurgitated by people who actually do not read, because they're in that non-reading community. But Kenyans are reading, and just the fact that this space exists. And
many other spaces.
And many other spaces.
Yes, because I was at, sorry to interrupt, I was at Cheche yesterday. Mm-hmm. There's another space that right in my shags, right opposite on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
There is, and I'm forgetting, it was started by Gedhuku.
Ah,
I'm sure you know it.
Yes.
What is it called? I'm forgetting the name.
Comrades.
But yes, Comrades.
Yes.
So Gedhuku started Comrades in Wangige.
Yes.
And there are very many other spaces that are coming up.
Yeah.
So, sorry, just got to come back to what you were
and
talking about.
You're just from the library, and I'm sure it was packed, and that
yes,
was on
it
a
was.
Saturday. It's a Saturday. Mm. So that just speaks to Kenyans are reading. There's a community of publishers, readers, writers, you know, artists, in terms of poets, you know, there's a whole community of readers.
That's
so
true.
Whoever says Kenyans don't read, they're in the wrong community, or they're in that community of
by themselves.
Yeah, by themselves, or with the few, two, three people who, you know, they cite themselves up that Kenyans don't read.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we find Kenyans are reading, and this space has been formed by that need,
yeah.
by the need of people to find spaces where they can come and read books.
Mm.
Because we were online, right?
Mm.
So there would have been no point in us going offline
mm-hmm.
if there was no demand for it. And especially during COVID, right?
Yeah.
Like you said earlier. So Kenyans are reading and Kenyans are hungry for these spaces.
And so. Also they are reading and they are writing.
Yeah.
And that's what has been a pleasant surprise.
Yes, let's talk about the writing.
Yes. Yeah. So when we started out, we said we want to see what Kenyans are writing.
Yeah.
So we sent out a call for people that are published. If you have a book out, whether you published it yourself or you have a publisher,
mm-hmm.
bring it and we'll stock it for you. And we've gotten so many people walking in the doors of Somanami Books saying, I have a book
yeah.
from all over Nairobi. We get books from across the country.
Mm-hmm.
There are people sending yes. books from Kilifi, from Meru,
Eldoret,
yeah,
yeah.
And saying, so many people also who are working in,
yes,
and
just,
you wouldn't think they fit the profile of writer,
yes,
mm-hmm. but you look at what they're writing and you're blown away. Like
exactly.
Last weekend we were just reviewing a book that had been dropped off and it just blew our minds.
Yeah,
like this person is talented. They can really write.
Yeah, they can tell a story and
yeah.
they have a story to tell. And just seeing that and being encouraged that, you know, there's so many people out there who have
yeah.
put out work
yeah.
and us being able to give them a home at Somanami, that yeah. really makes my heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, it makes me feel very accomplished.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
This is also another call to anybody out there who's probably
yes.
finding out about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you're published and you want readers
please
to find,
to them in
to
the,
discover
yes.
your book, do bring it to Somanami Books. We are located at the Greenhouse Mall on the ground floor. Be sure, or even just write us an email, right?
Yeah.
Yes, and
yeah.
you can find them on their website at somanami.co.
www.somanami.co.ke.
Yes, .co.ke. I wasn't sure whether it's .co.ke or .co.com. And yeah, and finally, as we come to the end of our discussion, now, the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Yes.
was announced this week.
Yeah.
It was this week, right?
Yes.
2 days
and
ago.
2 days ago.
Yes.
And it went to a Tanzanian.
Yep.
How did that make you feel?
Oh, let me tell you.
I saw your tweets, but I want to hear it from you.
I was extremely happy. I felt like our work has been vindicated, you know, and the kind of work and the kind of books that we're pushing. Because I think we've been talking about Abdulrazak the entire year.
Yeah.
Ever since I found out that this book was coming out sometime last year, and then it was pushed back because of COVID, obviously, I was excited to find it. So when eventually it was published, Wendy and I jumped on it.
Yeah.
We're like, yes.
We are reading Afterlives
by
Abdulrazak.
And because I've read his two other books,
okay.
Desertion and
Paradise.
I was keen on reading it, you know, but then you find that Abdulrazak has written 10 books and very few people know about him.
Yeah.
Very few people
that is
have
so true.
Read his books.
Yeah.
I think half the population knew
Haven't,
about him.
When he was
born,
announced?
When
yes.
That
born.
Is so true because
yeah.
I'm in a writers, I'm in a group of women writers.
Yeah.
So people who write obviously read because,
yeah.
I mean, where will you
yes.
be drawing your words from if you don't read? And the interesting thing is that only two
mm-hmm.
see that they have read his work.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's one of those things and they're like, oh, we need to start looking for his books. And I'm amazed that you have a copy of his book here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe Wendy, you can tell us, how do people get this book?
So of course we have a big, big catalog of literature by Africans
yes.
that is growing. Our dream is to actually house all the 54 states. Works by from writers from all the 54 states
of Africa.
How many
do you have so far? I'm just putting you on the spot. Yes,
we are building on that number.
Okay.
We are not at the 54th yet,
okay.
but when we get there, we'll definitely make a lot of noise about it.
All right.
And this is one of the books that we have from out of Tanzania by Abdulrazak Guna. Buying our books is very easy. You can come to the store. Which is at the Greenhouse
Nairobi,
Mall,
yes.
if you're in Nairobi. If you're not in Nairobi, don't worry. We deliver across the country. So you go to the website, which is www.somanami.co.ke. go and buy. It's very simple. Add the books to the cart and pay by M-Pesa. Leave your delivery details and we'll get it to your doorstep.
Yep.
Great. So, and I can attest to how simple it is, because the book I was talking about, that was the book of last month. I actually ordered it online and I had it delivered. It was a very interesting process. But I'm hoping that you are thinking of the Kenyans in the diaspora, Africans in the diaspora.
Yeah.
Because I noticed the main payment method you have is only M-Pesa. So so maybe consider those in the diaspora, because there are very many Africans in the diaspora who would love to access these books.
We're actually getting a lot of inquiries from readers in Uganda, in Tanzania,
East Africa in general. Yes.
East Africa.
Rwanda.
Region.
Yeah. Okay,
and
that's great.
We're working on it. We're working on how to best get...
To figure out the logistics, right?
Yeah, logistics, how best to get the books there.
Awesome. Oh. So it's been great. When do you look like there's something that you wanted to add?
No, I'm just happy. I'm just excited.
So am
when I
finally managed, I think it was James Murua. Shout out to James Murua. He's the one who talked about the launch. I wish I was here for the launch, but it's okay.
Yeah.
So I came here and I was just amazed at the quality and the type of books that you have.
Yeah.
And I'm really rooting for you, and I'm happy that we're able to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. It's also been great talking to you and the kind of support you've also given us. Just coming to do this interview at our space, which is what we're trying to encourage podcasters, book clubs, bookstagrammers. We're just trying to encourage the community to find this as a home. So.
Yeah.
We're really excited that you chose Somanami for this.
Great. So we've come to the end of this episode and this season, actually, of Kenyan Poets Podcast. I have been your host, Njeri Wangari. Please, if you haven't, follow the podcast on your favorite podcasting app or even on YouTube, because this episode and all the previous episodes are available both on the different podcasting platforms as well as on YouTube. And we will see you in the next season. Kwaheri.